just get the presentation up. I'll start by introducing myself. I'm Helen Sanders. I am not a design expert. I come from the manufacturing side. I've been in the glass and glazing industry for 30 years. Currently, I work for Techniform. I say we don't make windows, we make windows better. I've spent 17 years of my life doing electrochromic product development. So I'm here today. I have a little bit of a different perspective. I was asked to just give a few words on what I think the challenges are to achieving decarbonized daylighting or lighting. So just want to make sure we're on the same page, starting from the premise that we need daylight to deliver a space that's compatible with human well-being and comfort, right? As opposed to something like this, windowless buildings, LED lighting, camera on the outside to show you the view. Arguably, it'd be easier to deliver that low carbon operational embodied carbon design because you don't need to worry about degrading your thermal envelope by putting windows in and any other things you need to put on for dynamic solar control. But since we think we need to bring daylight into buildings, let's start with the comfortable piece, right? So adequate daylight means sufficient glazed area. That means your envelope has to be good enough to manage solar heat gain to keep people comfortable, the thermal heat transfer to keep people comfortable, and the glare to keep people comfortable. If you don't, your daylight won't be comfortable. Big issue. Thing to note, our building codes today, at least in the US, do not require our buildings to be comfortable, nor wait well daylit. They require that you don't die immediately in them from fire or the roof collapsing. There's not even a requirement for thermal resilience to stop people dying if there's an electric outage. And then there's operational carbon, right? Windows are typically the weakest link in the envelope. We know that. There's this tension between energy use and daylight, more daylight, more strain on the HVAC system. Obviously, you can harvest the daylight, but as we just heard, LEDs are getting so good now. Is there that benefit anymore? Then you have peak load issues for the electrification strategies that Mark talked about. The implications are the facade has to have excellent performance. But then we get to embodied carbon, right? High performance glazing systems typically means more stuff. More stuff means more embodied carbon. And then we got the service life issue too, because sometimes we talk about dematerialization in design for sustainability. Dematerialization also to get to lower energy usage in some window assemblies. But service life is key, right? If you're going to invest in a lot of embodied carbon, you better make it last. So that's an issue. So doing the facade well is really not business as usual in the US because it's hard, it's expensive, and nobody requires you to do it. And why is that? You know, we know what to do. This New York Times building, the LBNL team did a great job on that, showed how to do a really high-performing facade. Well, it's 10 years old now, more than 10 years old?
20,
20 years
20,
old, 20 years old. But it's not replicated, it's not business as usual. We have the technology, we've had the technology for a long time. I'm not going to go through these things in detail. We've talked about them. You know, we have multiple coatings, we've got thermal barriers, we've got electrochromic glazing, we've got the conventional dynamic glazing technology, we've got VIG. They've got track cycles that are extending past 20 years, some are even 50 years old. We can get to the net zero energy window that Mark is talking about. We can do it, and that's going to enable you to have comfortable daylighting. But we don't. We don't do it today because there are lots of barriers. And this is a summary of some work that Mark actually has been funding the Facade Tectonics Institute to work on. Both Steve Sarkowitz in the audience and myself are working on this project to really understand the barriers to adoption of high-performance facades. You can see this is a high-level view. There are tens and tens, almost 100 different barriers underneath all this. The code set the baseline cost, and anything above that baseline, you have to show return on investment. And our model codes, they're not enforced across the US. The model codes in terms of the newest ones, some states are maybe 10 years behind the most current model code. And those model codes are not going fast enough. They're not even carbon focused. They're just energy focused. And of course, they're still not requiring you to make comfortable spaces, daylit spaces for people. So on that note, I'll finish. And with one comment here from Dwayne Jonlin from the City of Seattle. And he says, the only places that you will find high performance buildings being consistently constructed are places where it's the only way to get a building permit.
Interesting.
And this is just a shot of difference of business as usual in fenestration between us and Europe. Big difference. Thank you.